Seated. Boy, it's so good to see everyone here this morning. I want to welcome all of you who are visiting with us today. If you have any questions about what you hear, what you see, we'd love to be able to talk to you after our services are over. Also, we want to welcome those of you who may be joining us live online. We're so glad to have you a part of our worship as well. And really, before I get into my lesson today, I want to say, I know it's been said twice, I'm going to give it the three times is a charms rule. Happy Father's Day. In fact, I want to do something. I want to ask all our fathers to stand up this morning. Yeah, you guys deserve some honor. Thank you. Thank you so much. You guys can be seated. Father's Day, of course, is very special to me because I'm a father, and I appreciate that. I know the hard work that goes into being a dad, and so thank you so much, dads. I hope you have an awesome day with your family today. Well, today we are finishing up our series entitled Empowered from the Book of Acts. And really, to, I guess, kind of open up what we're going to be talking about this morning, I first want us to go back to Matthew chapter 19, verse 19, where Jesus speaks these words, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Now, how many of us would honestly say this morning that that's pretty easy when you are surrounded by people that are like you? But how easy is it to love others when they are different from you? That can be quite the challenge, right? But notice Jesus doesn't say, love your neighbor if they dress like you. Love your neighbor if they believe like you. Love your neighbor if they live like you. No, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Period. Right? No qualifier, no prerequisite. Jesus just said, treat others, even if they are different from you, with love. I don't want to see a show of hands this morning, but how many of us can relate to the individual that Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 7, verse 3, that loves to find the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye when we ourselves have a huge honking plank, or some of your translations may say a log in our own life? Anybody relate to that? And here's the deal. Oftentimes we can take that plank, or we can take that log that's in our eye, and we can use that to build a wall between ourselves and those who are different than us. But here's what I want us all to understand this morning. We all matter to God. In fact, look at Acts chapter 10 this morning, and I'm just going to warn you, for some of you, you're going to see a side of the Apostle Peter that you've probably never seen before. In fact, you're going to see a side of the Apostle Peter that may make some of you just a little bit uncomfortable. You see, Peter, even though he was handpicked by Jesus to be a leader and an apostle within the church, even though Peter had read the words, or not read rather, but actually heard the words of Jesus that we read on the screen just a few minutes ago from Matthew chapter 19, verse 19, he had heard Jesus say that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Even though Peter heard Jesus speak these words in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which we've read over and over again in this series, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to what church? And to the ends of the earth. Even though Peter himself had preached in Acts chapter 2, right, to thousands of people who had gone spiritually wayward from God. He spoke these words. Who, church? What does he say? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Even though Peter knew all of that, he had heard that, he had spoken that, Peter still struggled with being prejudiced. He was deeply prejudiced towards anyone who wasn't a Jew. Anyone who didn't share his race, anyone who didn't share his heritage. You see, he was brought up in an atmosphere that led him to believe that if you weren't a Jew, then you were less than a human. And so if you were to accidentally brush up against someone who was non-Jewish, a Gentile, you were to immediately run home and you were to take a bath, right? To wash off all that contamination. You certainly didn't invite a Gentile into your home, and you certainly did not go into the home of a Gentile, because they would defile you. And that was comfortable for Peter. That felt safe for Peter. That's what he knew. That's how he grew up. Now, the truth is, if we're honest about it, all of us have this instinctive nature to develop these planks in our own eye that we in turn use to build walls between us and people who are different. For some, it's a wall that's been built between people of different skin color, different nationality, whether it's black or white or Hispanic or Indian or Jew. For some, it's the political liberals or conservatives that we can't stand. For some, it's the body pierced, tattooed person who dresses differently than we do. For some, it's the graying senior who seems out of touch in a world of iPads and iPhones and text messaging. For some, it's the person who doesn't see eye to eye with us spiritually. For some, it's the homosexual or those who are straight that we can't stand to be around, because they're different. Listen, while we have this instinctive nature to take our planks and build walls between us and those who are different from us, there is a universal need among people for us to take those planks and build bridges to others who need Jesus. Look at Acts chapter 10. Here we find a guy who was not a part of Peter's religion. He didn't grow up like Peter did, and he was not a part of his ethnic group. And the guy I'm referring to here is a guy by the name of Cornelius, and I'm just going to give you a little bit of information about Cornelius. You can read about it right there at the start of Acts chapter 10. Cornelius himself was a soldier. In fact, the Bible says that he was over a regiment of soldiers. Cornelius also lived on the Mediterranean Sea in a town called Caesarea. But most importantly, Cornelius was not a Christian. He didn't know Jesus. Now, he had an awareness of God. If you look at the text, it says that he prayed to God. And he gave generously to those who were poor. In fact, people could take that small portion of Scripture and they would say, man, Cornelius was a really good guy. In fact, had some of us lived during that day and time and Cornelius were to die at this point, some of us might even be willing to stand up and say, man, if anybody made it into heaven, it was Cornelius. He was a really good guy, and he was a good guy. But he was lost spiritually. And you say, well, Slate, how do you know that? Well, go forward. Just keep your place marked there in Acts chapter 10, because that's really where we're going to be. But if you move forward one chapter to Acts chapter 11, and I'm going to explain what you guys are looking at here in a minute. But here in Acts chapter 11, Peter is just retelling the story of what takes place between him and Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He's explaining this to a group of Jewish skeptics. Okay? And as he is retelling this story of what we're about to read, this is what he says. He, that's Cornelius, told us how an angel appeared to him in his home and had told him, send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He will tell you how you and everyone in your household can be what? Said out loud, church. Can be saved. Now, what does that tell us? Cornelius was lost. He was a good guy. I mean, he believed in God. He prayed to God. Right? And he even went above what even a lot of people who claim to be Christians do today. He was a giver, right? I mean, he generously gave, but he was spiritually lost. And the only thing sadder than that fact that Cornelius was lost is the fact that up until this point, no one even cared that he was lost or not. Peter certainly didn't, because Cornelius wasn't like him. He wasn't one of his people. But one day, God gives Cornelius a vision. And in this vision, he sees an angel, and we're just going to read it. Acts chapter 10 now, verses 4 through 6, it says, your prayers, this is the angel speaking to Cornelius, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. In other words, the angel of the Lord is telling Cornelius, listen, man, God has a heart for you. He says, now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. Now, let's stop right there because I want to make one thing clear. When it says Simon the tanner, he's talking about a leather worker, not someone who owns a tanning bed. Okay? I mean, like some of y'all are like, oh man, they had tanning beds back then. No. It was called the sun, but they didn't have actual tanning beds. But notice he has this vision of an angel, and the angel tells him, listen, I want you to send some men to Joppa to bring Peter to you, because Peter has something very important that he needs to tell you. Well, while all this is going on, Peter has no clue what's been going on over in Caesarea. He's also, as we see from the text that we just read, by the Mediterranean Sea in a city called Joppa. And God, even though he's unaware of what's about to happen, God is about to do some bypass surgery on Peter, on his heart for Peter, for people who are different than him. In fact, you may want to write this down. God is just so good at taking things that all our lives we have resisted and bringing us face to face with them. Anybody else experience that? Well, that's what's about to take place in our text. I know that for our family, in our neighborhood, God has brought us face to face with so many of our neighbors. just by walking around the neighborhood. And so many of our neighbors are very different from us. They're different than us racially, religiously, even sexually. And even though they are very different than us, we have grown to really like them, to love them. They, our neighbors have come to really matter to our family. And it was through all that that God was really showing us, listen, my purpose for you as a child of God is to build a bridge to these people. And that's what God is wanting for Peter. The next day, Cornelius sends these guys en route to Joppa to bring Peter back. And again, Peter's unaware of all of this. In fact, he gets up the next day and he goes up on the roof of where he's staying to pray in the middle of the day. And all of a sudden, he has a vision. Except his vision's a little different. His vision is about food. Food that would be considered to a Jewish person very unclean. But notice what God says through all of that. Acts chapter 10, verse 13, there is this sheet that comes down almost like a parachute out of heaven in Peter's vision, and there's all this unclean food on the sheet, and God says to Peter, get up, Peter, kill, and what, church? And eat. Now that had to be like fingernails going down a chalkboard to Peter. Right? Because he was proud of his diet. In fact, if you look at verse 14, Peter responds by saying, surely not. He says, I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. And in other words, it's like Peter says, oh Lord, listen, I have been a good kosher Jewish boy all my life to the absolute letter of the law. I've never had a pork chop. I've never had a ham sandwich. I've never had a brats. I mean, you can just hear, right, the self-righteous pride in his voice. I would never do anything like that. I've never done anything like that. And so in verse 16, it says this happened how many times, church? Three times. And immediately the sheet was taken back into heaven. I just find that kind of interesting because that kind of seems to be Peter's number, right? Three times. I mean, in John chapter 21, after he denies Jesus, remember after Jesus' resurrection, Peter encounters Jesus on this beach. And do you remember what Jesus asked him? He says, do you what? Do you love me? How many times did Jesus have to ask him that question? Three times. And what does Peter say? Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus drives home the point, then feed my sheep. Don't let this hold you back. Listen, you get up, you pick yourself up, and you go out there, and you serve me, you tell people about me. But it took Jesus three times driving this home to Peter, and now here it is. Three times God lets down this sheet. Or this sheet, and it's covered with unclean food. And he says, kill and eat. Then look at verse 19. It says, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs, and do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. And you just kind of have to wonder, right? As Peter is going down those stairs, if he's thinking to himself, man, I hope it's not a Gentile. I bet it is. I really bet it is, but I hope it's not a Gentile, because again, God is so good at taking things that we've resisted all our lives and bringing us face to face with it. Well, Peter goes downstairs and he learns that these three guys have been sent by a Roman soldier that he has never heard of by the name of Cornelius. And it was at that point that Peter does something that was very unheard of during his day and time. He invites them to stay overnight in his house. And I don't think that you and I can even begin to grasp, okay, the magnitude of how big this really was. But Peter does it. He invites them to stay in his home. And don't you know that there were probably some Jews who saw all this going down next door? Right? There's always nosy neighbors, and they probably saw these Gentiles going into a Jew's home, and don't you know some of them were thinking, boy, did you see that? There goes the neighborhood. Next thing you know, they're all going to be crowding in here. We're going to have to get out of here. We're going to have to leave. Well, the next day, Peter gets up with these guys, and he heads to Caesarea now. And when they arrive at the home of Cornelius, Cornelius has gathered his family and all of his close friends together. And it was at that point that Peter is faced with another defining decision. Would he enter the house of a Gentile? Because once he did, it would come with a cost. It would cost him his pride, his self-righteousness. It would cost him his reputation in some circles. Well, fully aware of the price that he would pay, Peter walks through the doors, and for the first time in his life, Peter finds himself in the minority. But it's this beautiful picture. Because it was in that moment that God starts to build a bridge. Look at verse 25. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I am only a man myself. And I absolutely love that, right? Because Peter didn't walk in there, right, like he was some sort of big shot. No, he walks in. He says, no, get up. I'm just a guy like you. I make mistakes myself. I'm in the same boat, struggling and growing in life. I don't have it all together. We're all in need of the grace of God. And then there's this awesome conversation that takes place, and I don't have time to read it this morning. Go home and read it for yourself. It's right there in Acts chapter 10 between Cornelius and Peter. Cornelius starts talking about the vision that he had. And then Peter starts talking about the vision that he had. And then all of a sudden, man, the light comes on for Peter. You ever had something that was right there in front of your face for years and you just couldn't see it? And then all of a sudden, something is said, maybe even from someone different. Maybe your mom and dad had been telling you this all your life. But now, out of the blue, from someone different or in a different circumstance, all of a sudden the light comes on for you. That was Peter. Because it says in verses 34 through 35, then Peter began to speak. I now realize, right, at that moment, right? Even though he had been with Jesus, he had heard Jesus say, love your neighbor as yourself. Even though he himself said the gospel is for everyone, right? He says, now I realize how true it is that God does not show what, church? Favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. Let me ask you, in your soul, have you come to the realization of that? That God treats everyone on the same basis. No matter what lifestyle or group or background or race or religion or political party that he or she belongs to. Peter goes on to share with these people that honestly he would have never eaten with a few days earlier about this bridge that Jesus built across the chasm of sin that separates us from God. He says in verse 43, he says, all the prophets testify about him. That's Jesus. That who, church? Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Don't miss this. God's grace and God's Son and God's church is for everyone. It doesn't matter how old you are, how much money you have, what kind of car you drive, what the color of your skin is. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't even matter what your present situation is right now. God's grace and God's Son and God's church is for everyone. And some of you may be thinking, well, Slate, you don't understand my past. I mean, you want to talk about specks and planks and logs. I mean, you want to get into sin. Let me tell you something. There's things that I've done in my past that I am absolutely ashamed of. And I'm sure that God is absolutely ashamed of me as well. Let me tell you something about God. God took a plank and he nailed his Son. He had his Son nailed to it, so that you and I could be forgiven of those sins. That's how much God loves you. Don't let anyone ever tell you anything different. I'll be honest with you this morning. Julie and I, we have one son. His name is Shepherd. And as much as I love all of you, let me tell you something. There is no way I would ever give my son for you. Now put that in perspective of God. God loved you so much that he gave his Son for you. Again, you may feel like no one loves you, that you don't matter. But I can assure you, you matter to God. As Peter was sharing these words with Jesus, man, an amazing thing starts to happen. Cornelius and his family, they start to believe. And as they start to believe the message of Peter about Jesus, the Holy Spirit shows up again, like he did in Acts chapter 2, because Cornelius and his family, they began to speak in languages that they had never learned before. And man, when Peter sees all of this taking place, he realizes that this is a sign from God that now Gentiles can be saved. And so look at what happens next. Verses 47 through 48. Surely, this is Peter speaking after the Holy Spirit had entered the scene. Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be what, church? Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them a few days. Isn't that interesting? Cornelius and his household was baptized. In fact, you guys have heard me say this before. Every conversion in the book of Acts, which is just a history book, basically, of the first century church, in every conversion in the book of Acts, baptism is included. And what's really cool about this one was this was the very first Gentile baptism that we know of. And after they're baptized, they ask Peter to stay a few extra days. And what an experience that must have been, right? I mean, maybe he tried a ham sandwich. And maybe he had one of my favorite, which is fried pork chops. I mean, I don't know. But here's the deal about the story of Cornelius. There's actually two conversions going on here. There's the conversion of Cornelius and his family, but the bigger conversion is Peter himself, right? Because God opened his eyes and opened his heart to see that God's grace and God's Son and God's church is for everyone. So I ask you this morning, who in your world, in your family, your neighborhood, your school, your workplace, who needs to know about Jesus? In some cases, maybe you've given up on them. Some cases, maybe you've stopped caring about them. But we all need to be reminded of the words of Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." That's who we're supposed to be. His witnesses. And this not only took place in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, but this goes to the end of the earth. This is what's supposed to happen in the Winter Haven community. Or maybe the Lake Wells community, or the Lakeland community, wherever we are. And that's what I told Richard. Richard Primo did a great job of teaching class this morning, and he was talking about Paul, and Paul's been in prison for 2 years under several guys, and in every case, man, it's just an opportunity for him to tell others about Jesus, and that's why we're here. Even for some of you who have been in bad situations, maybe your situation is not good at the present time, but what God wants for all of us as His children through the power of the Holy Spirit is no matter where we're at or who we're with, we are to be witnesses for Him. And so I want to leave us with three things. I want to close out this series really with three challenges, okay? First of all, number one, invest. Who do you know right now that needs Jesus? I want to encourage you to invest in them. Spend some time with them. Because it's not until we invest that we show them how much we really love them and care for them that they will desire to hear what we have to say. But then once we invest, I want to encourage you also to invite people to Central. Right? Those who need to know about Jesus, listen, we'll partner with you. I mean, I think about Matthew after he comes to Christ, right? When Jesus says, "Follow me," what does Matthew do? This tax collector, he throws a party, right, of some of his tax collecting friends, and he mingles them together with Jesus and the other disciples. And listen, we want to partner with you as well in helping people come to know Jesus better. But then thirdly, pray. It's the most important thing that any of us can do is pray for people, because God has the power to open hearts and change lives. And what I want to encourage you to do, I've done this before, is I want you to make out a list of people who need to know Jesus. Right? It can be neighbors, it can be friends, family, co-worker, whoever it is, but make a list of people who need to know Jesus. And every day I want to challenge you for the rest of this year, okay, to pray for those people every day. And so you'll need to take that list and put it in some places, right, where you're going to see it every single day, whether it's the office computer or maybe it's your bathroom mirror or the refrigerator. But you pray for those people every single day. And if you want, you know what, you can come up here and lay those names at the cross as well. And the elders and myself will partner with you in praying for those people. Because I really believe that as we pray together, as the Holy Spirit works in us and through us, we're going to see God do some big things. I'm already seeing it. Some of you who just gave your life to Christ, you're on my list. God came after you. And some of you, I'm still praying, and just know God's after you. And I'm just hoping very soon He'll open your heart to give your life to Him. But this morning, we want to extend an invitation. If there's someone here that's ready to give their life to Jesus, to put on Christ in baptism, having all their sins. Can you imagine that? I mean, like a new baby. No sin in your life. That takes place in the blood of Jesus. When we give our lives to Him, He removes all that garbage. Or this morning, maybe you are a Christian. And maybe you're struggling with some things. We'd love to partner with you in struggling in that struggle by giving you some accountability and just lifting you up constantly to God in prayer to help you through those things. And that's one of the beauties of why we come together, because we're all sinners, right? We all make those mistakes, but we can encourage each other and strengthen each other in those failures to do better. But whatever the case this morning, if you have a need, listen, you can come or you can leave it at the cross this morning as together we stand and sing.